Welcome to Level 7, Episode 59. Ask me anything?
Welcome to Level 7. A podcast about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a magical place.
Hello, fellow agents. It's Agent Daniel Butcher sitting here in the hub tonight. And I'm not alone. I'm here with another very busy, busy man.
You're not alone. You're never alone. Not here, you're not.
Well, the hub is always a buzz of activity.
Yes.
People going out on missions, communications that must happen across states and sometimes the world.
And so here we are. And I'm here too. I'm Ben. And Daniel, this is a special episode. Do you know why?
Because Daniel doesn't fully know everything he's going to say tonight?
That might be it. That might be part of it, yeah, yeah. No, because today's topics, there are a lot of them. None of them are chosen by us. It is all 100% listeners giving us question. Basically, they just gave us a whole ton of conversation starters. And actually, most of these could be an episode of their own, probably. But we're not going to go that long with it.
No, we're not. But we've often said, Ben, that, you know, it's more than – this whole podcast is about more than just us. And tonight's episode really proves that, as everybody's kind of gotten in tonight.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually, how many people, you know, jumped in with some questions. And I'm really excited, so –
I am a little disappointed.
Why are you disappointed?
No one asked me to help plan their Disney vacation.
It's true, and it was Ask Us Anything, and that would qualify as anything.
But that would be a 3-hour episode.
Yeah, that'd be more appropriate for just like an email to you, and then you could email them back.
I think everybody needs to hear this wisdom. Everybody.
I'm going to say we're okay without it.
Does that mean we should just go ahead and jump into the intelligence report?
I think we should. We should jump into the intelligence report and blast through these things. There's some big items, but they're not huge talking points. So, yeah, let's do it.
S.H.I.E.L.D. intelligence report.
Okay, let's get started then. News item number one, Daniel. Are you ready?
I am sitting.
I am going to be at Wizard World Chicago this weekend based on, you know, if you're listening to this the day we release it. Yeah, because we're recording on the 19th, should be releasing on the, you know, late tonight, so people will be listening on the 20th. If you're in Chicago and you're going to Wizard World, come to table D50. I will be there. And if you buy a Hedge Knight, the artist for the Hedge Knight will be there too, which is pretty awesome. So,
wait, my copy of that's only autographed by you.
Yeah, too bad you're not coming to Chicago because you could have Mike sign it too. But you're not, so...
Art was really the highlight of that book.
It was more than the highlight of that book. It was something special. So
the writing's pretty good, too.
Yes, George Martin did a great job writing the story and the dialogue. There are a few moments of dialogue that I added in on my own, and obviously I did some adaptation for his dialogue, but I can sit back and look at those three books when the third one's done, and I can say... this is an awesome book, guys. You should buy it. And I'm not totally just praising myself because it lays firmly at their feet. And I say, if you don't notice I did my job, I did my job right.
But Ben, I have a question.
Make it quick.
You're sitting there at D50.
Mm-hmm.
What if an agent was to come speak to you?
They would be able to talk to me.
Okay, that's good.
Face to face, yeah.
Friendly?
Yeah, I'll be sitting behind my table. I'll have my books. I'll have some cards we had made.
What?
Yeah, cards? Trading cards. These are not just business cards. These are trading cards.
Is this the Welcome to Level 7 limited edition trading card?
Collectible number one. Yes, it is. With a special mock cover on the front and two handsome-looking guys on the back. Although it's drawings of them, so it makes them look more handsome, probably. But
well, one covers his face, so.
Well, no, on the back, we don't have our masks on. We're in agent gear.
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah. So
anyway, yeah. And we'll also have a card for the Comic Book Time Machine podcast, but that's not a collectible. That's just the regular one, you know?
Yeah, that's just a card. Yeah. That's just common. That's just a comic card.
But anyway, yeah, I'll be there, and I would love to talk to anyone who stops by. And yeah, so that's that.
Okay, what else you got for me?
John Slattery in Ant-Man, ?
I think you completely misread that headline. Shouldn't it have said the return of Walt Disney to Ant-Man? ?
I don't think so, but...
But doesn't John Slattery play Howard Stark?
Yes, so that would be Howard Stark, not Walt Disney.
But isn't just, it the just Walt saying. Disney version of Howard Stark?
You mean the Marvel version of Walt Disney? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I doubt that he'll be played that way for this movie, if he's in it. And I'm not sure how they're going to use him, but I'm assuming it'll be something back in time, like in the 60s or 70s.
Well, I'm clearly pro this.
He's what made Iron Man 2 your favorite or second favorite?
Significantly. Hey, I do have a picture of my rankings. I do. I can put it up.
You can. You did it on a whiteboard, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. And in our Iron Man 3 is not Iron Man 2 is not number 1 on that list. And I went back and listened to our Guardians of the Galaxy episode. And if people misunderstood me, I did at one point say I enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I did give a critical eye to it.
Yeah. We might get into that later. But
yeah, it's no Lucy.
We'll get into that later, too, I think. Post-credits, is that what we decided?
Yeah.
Talk about Lucy after the credit. Okay. All right. Next item. Ant-Man has begun production. Like, they're shooting it.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody tweeted something, and I retweeted it, but I don't know who it came from. But they said, Ant-Man starts production on day one and sends out picture. Fantastic Four wraps production and hasn't sent out one picture yet. I thought that was an interesting little comparative. Yeah, but the selfie was after they wrapped.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, they're probably all wearing costumes that say 6 on it instead of 4. They don't want to give that spoiler away.
We are so going our own direction for this that we're not even going to have 4 people. It's going to be Fantastic Four with 6 of us.
But there's going to be 4, but we're going to wear 6s.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right, what else?
All right. Okay, so we do have a link. If you go to welcometolevel7.com/askus. You will find our links there. And there is a link to an interview with the directors of Captain America 3 talking about Falcon not taking up the shield on the silver screen anytime soon. Because that is the big question they are getting right now after Marvel revealed that on the comic book page, Falcon is taking up the shield and will be Captain America. So, but basically they're kind of looking at it like, why would we do that? We got a good thing going. He's only been Falcon for one movie. So,
and he's pretty good as Falcon.
And they also were like, why is he carrying, how is he carrying his shield like that? Wouldn't that get in the way of the aerodynamics of
physics?
Yeah. Yep. Item. Inhumans movie is now being written. They have assigned a screenwriter who is working on the screenplay for the Inhumans.
So what's the release date then, Ben?
One of those dates that we've seen probably.
Or maybe never.
Yeah, I mean, this could not go before cameras, but I really doubt that that's going to be the case.
I doubt that it will either.
I think it will go forward. I think something we can talk about later. I think there's a question kind of talking about some of this stuff. But I think the Inhumans is an interesting concept for them to explore on the screen. And I think that... It also can be the Marvel, the MCU X-Men. I can't remember who was talking about how it's a nice mix of genres. I think it might have been Joel Sharpton. But basically you have kind of this high fantasy and, you know, regal kingdom stuff. But then you also have the teen angst. And so you can kind of mix up, you know, Thor with X-Men.
Well, and when you're talking about mixing up Thor, give us another hierarchy of kings to put alongside Asgard. So you could have them interact with another kingdom. Maybe even get to the point of doing a War of the Kings scenario between, you know, the Kree and – was it the Kree and the Shi'ar and the Inhumans?
I don't know about that, but I didn't read it.
But you could even tie it into Guardians of the Galaxy using the War of Kings scenario. So.
Right. Or you could do a hidden kingdom, you know, where it's people who are right here, right now. And we don't even know it. But they're Inhumans. And they're just waiting to be called upon by their king or something like that.
Ooh, you really could. You could take the Inhumanity storyline where there's people who don't know it and then they become Inhumans. Oh.
Again, I haven't read that, cool. But... Okay.
Oh, but you really could do that well. You could find somebody, let us get to know him in 10 minutes, have him cocoon up, and then find out that he's an Inhuman, and then enter the secret world of the Inhumans, meet Black Bolt. Oh, that could actually work really, really well as an MCU-ing.
Lots of potential, and we'll talk more about that later.
Oh, I may have given one of my answers away.
Item! Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has its Mockingbird, and it is... Adrian Palicki, something like that. She was Wonder Woman, wasn't she?
You know, I saw that tonight.
Yeah. I think she was hired to play the part of Wonder Woman in a TV series that didn't happen.
I think the thing that shocked me the most is that she was Lady J in G.I. Joe Retaliation, since we all know I have strong feelings about that movie.
Yeah, that movie was all right.
That movie was a train wreck, but
that movie was watchable.
Well, I think my opinion of that movie's been made very clear at another forum.
Yeah, but I haven't. I totally watched that movie. There, that's my review.
Well, and one of my feelings on that movie is Lady J was not used correctly, so.
Oh, neither was Flint. Flint was always one of my favorite guys.
Flint and Lady J, they go together like peanut butter and chocolate.
They do. And I was so fortunate when I was a kid to have both of them as action figures. The problem was Lady J's head was so huge compared to Flint's. Flint's was tiny.
The hat.
He had this tiny little head and that beret, and he looked cool standing by himself. But you put him next to Lady J, and she has like this gigantic head, and she looked cool by herself. But you put them next to each other, and it's just like, oh, something genetic. You know, if they had children, the head would come out just, you know, normal size, I guess. But yeah, it was. But I they go together, and I loved Flint as a character on the cartoon show, and yeah, he was in the movie. So there's my review.
There you go.
I totally watched that movie, and Flint was in it.
Dude. I think we just did the news in under half an hour.
It's doable. We can do this. Item. News is done. And we are ready to answer some questions. Are you?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
Mission report.
So this topic came about because of a listener who suggested it, and we thought that sounded fun. It was Agent Brian, who is one of the he posts a lot on Facebook and makes Facebook fun. Is that
I think that's a good description.
Yeah. He suggested this. I didn't know what he was talking about. Apparently Daniel did. And so Daniel said, "Hey, Ben, AMA. And I don't know what that is, but sure. Whatever. And then he said again, AMA. And I don't know what this is. So I looked it up, and it's not American Medical Association. It is Ask Me Anything. And so we put out the call, and boy, did you guys deliver. Listeners, man, these are some fun questions. So should we just jump into it or any more preamble here?
Let's tear into them.
All right.
I mean, I haven't thought about them much yet, except for one or two. So I want to even see what they are.
Okay. All right. I have maybe put too much thought into them. But okay, so first up we have from Ricky, Agent Ricky. He has a couple questions, and I think, Daniel, when we have these divided out, we'll just read the questions from each person.
Works for me.
Okay. So Ricky's first question. What other Marvel characters would you like to see an MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, series, either on network or on Netflix, based on? So he's not just asking, you know, for movies and stuff like that, but he's specifically saying a series. So you got your answer, Daniel? Are you thinking?
I'm trying to think.
Okay.
Because my problem is that so much stuff has been – oh, I have my answer.
Okay. Let me give you my answer then. I have an answer and a runner-up. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
My answer is Incredible Hulk. Even though he's already had a movie and he's been in Avengers, I think that the Incredible Hulk in a series setting would work really well. And my runner-up, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you going to be surprised?
Sure.
Great Lakes Avengers.
Not surprised.
I think it would really work. I think there's a lot of potential there, even if Marvel and Marvel's writers don't. So that's his first question, and why don't you give your answer to his first question, and we'll get his next one.
I'm going to go with the Marvel miniseries, Disney Kingdom's Seekers of the Weird. And the reason I choose that is because it would bring a creation of Walt Disney's into the MCU, and you could have it as a reoccurring series. I believe when I was a kid, there was like a Friday the 13th series.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be like a family-friendly version of that in the MCU, and you could have the occasional hero drop in, maybe Coulson.
So you consider those Marvel characters then?
Hey, Disney owns them, and Marvel printed them. And the only way – and to be honest, the kids in that are fully created by Marvel. It's the concept of the Museum of the Weird that was Walt Disney's. The kids were Marvel creations.
Okay. Do you think Coulson would still have returned if there never was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And I say no, probably not, unless they did a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. But I don't think there'd be a reason to bring him back in just for a backup character in a movie.
I am going to say yes, because he had a big enough role in Avengers that he could have a significant key role in a future movie. I don't think it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that got Coulson brought back. I think it was the fan cry for more Coulson that got Coulson brought back, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was just the format to do it on.
Oh, I totally disagree. I really do disagree on that. And it all comes down to, you've got someone else's movie, and you're going to take someone else's movie and hijack their story to be able to tell the story of his return, and then make it a reason for him to be there. So I don't think so.
I don't think it was a story motivation that brought him back. I think it was a fandom concern.
But it became its own story. It became its own story is the thing.
Yeah, but I mean, TV is just one way to bring him back.
Next, do you think DC having a Justice League movie early in their cinematic universe is a good idea or a bad idea?
Meh.
How about yes? Because I say it all depends on the storytelling. If it's a good story, it really won't matter. As long as they're able to tell a good story with the Justice League movie and then spin out good stories out of it. But I don't think that the concept of just doing the Justice League movie early is good or bad in and of itself.
I just haven't seen it. And I, you know, when I see it, I might know if it's good or bad.
Yeah, that's true.
That's part of the problem is, you know, it's a different model than Marvel followed. I don't think DC should be necessarily following the same Marvel.
Well, that's just it, because Marvel could have gone really bad. It could have gone horribly wrong. And just, yeah, they took a risk. And that's what DC's doing, too. So we'll see. I think that's our answer then.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Oh, and I like the next one.
Why do you want us to ask about John Carter?
Because it's really, really good.
Because we're looking for excuses to talk about John Carter, the movie. However, now that we have another podcast that actually ties in more directly, I don't think we need the excuse. But so that's that. No other reason. We actually have debated doing an episode about John Carter. and in the end decided not to. So any chance we get to sneak him in there is a good chance. So thank you, Ricky, for giving us the chance to sneak in some more John Carter.
Joel Sharpton asks, you're given free rein to bring in one new MCU character with their own solo film in Phase 3. We assume that Inhumans are already coming, so that won't count. Current licensing rights count, so no Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, or X-Men character without serious Avengers connections. Who do you choose? Have you chosen someone, Ben?
I have, and I'm curious if you would choose the same one.
Well, here's my problem. As I review the character I chose, licensing agreements might be in my way.
There are other questions where you can choose that answer then, probably.
Okay. Well, let me just throw this out. Pete Wisdom started in Excalibur.
Mm-hmm.
But does that make him an X character?
I think it does. He has very deep ties to Excalibur, but on the mutant side. Because he's like, wasn't he married to or dating Kitty Pryde and stuff?
Yeah.
I think that he would be more of an X character than a...
All right, so you better talk for a minute so I can rethink.
Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. Strong character. She's had solid storytelling in the recent comics. I have stopped reading because of the tie-ins to Infinity and stuff like that. But she has a very striking visual costume, and I'm talking about her new costume. Although her old costume is striking in a different way. But she's also different. I think she's different than the other characters that we've seen on the screen so far. She's not an assassin. She's not a soldier. She is someone who would have powers and go straight to superhero, which we haven't had too much. I think Iron Man went straight to superhero, but he doesn't have powers. So, yeah, Captain Marvel.
All right, I'll just take the low-hanging fruit of Beta Ray Bill.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly. A Thor-like character, sci-fi and fantasy mixed in together, doesn't visually look like Thor, but does. Yeah.
And ties into Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Ties into what we already have on the screen or have had. So, yeah, that's fun. That's not low-hanging fruit.
Whew. All right, you're up.
All right, yeah. Bud Rogers says, will we ever see the headmen in the MCU? Or rather, how can we work the headmen into the MCU? Daniel, you know who the headmen are?
They're a Defenders villain.
They are. Steve Gerber didn't create them, but he brought them together. And let's see, I have my Marvel handbook to the, or the official handbook to the Marvel Universe. Headmen, Shrunken Bones. That's Dr. Morgan. His experiments in cellular compression shrunk his skeleton, but not his skin. Basically, he looks like Blob, only if Blob went on a diet, like serious diet. Chandu the Mystic, that's Harvey Schlemmerlin, a sideshow magician. Schlemmerlin was a minor adept at the mystical arts who underwent extensive surgery by Dr. Negan, who we'll talk about in a moment, to transform him into a powerful demonic-looking being. Dr. Negan has also given him other bodies as well, not just the powerful one, but Gorilla Man, Dr. Negan, a surgeon. Negan's head was grafted onto the body of a gorilla, endowing him with the gorilla's strength and agility. Finally, we have Ruby Thursday, also known as Thursday Rubenstein, a scientist. Rubenstein grafted an organic computer to her head, composed of malleable plastic so she can assume any form she wills it to. Basically, woman's body with a red globe for a head. These are the headmen. They all appeared in Weird Wonder Tales number 7 in short stories that I think have very little to do with each other. I haven't read that, so I don't know. But Steve Gerber brought them together to be villains for the Defenders. They've also fought other heroes as well. So the question that Bud asks is, will we ever see them? Or rather, how could we work them in? Daniel?
I'm waiting for you to MCU it.
It's very easy. It's very easy, I think. It's just mad science.
Yes.
It's just straight up, like, this would be something that maybe could even be a Defenders episode of Netflix or an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, more than likely, where you just have, you know, these scientists getting together and just doing crazy science stuff, maybe even kind of like a Island of Dr. Moreau type of situation where they're experimenting on other people but also experimenting on themselves, and it's just this kind of mad science cult. And yeah, and that could even be kind of not a full season, not a big bad for a full season, but maybe three or four episodes kind of leading up to it where they'll hear something in one episode and they'll see something in the next episode. And then at the end of a third episode, it's like, we got to go there because this villain that we just fought, and then they have to deal with this just off the rails mad science situation where basically I think it'd be more Dr. Negan and Dr. Morgan working together to do crazy stuff, and Chandu and Ruby kind of being their lackeys. So that's how I would do it.
And I'm going to go with mad science.
Good answer.
Yeah. Scott Fisher asks, you're asking for trouble, but here's one for you. Elektra is one of my favorite Marvel characters. How would you bring her into the MCU? And would you do it through the Daredevil show on Netflix or some other way, such as her being hired to kill one of the Avengers or some other way? Personally, I'd like to see her in Daredevil to begin with. Granted, they do great casting. Elektra would be very hard to cast, right? I think you could cast Elektra, don't you? I mean,
yeah, I think it's a lot like just, you know, finding your Wonder Woman or finding, you know, I mean, it's just finding someone with classic Greek beauty, I think.
An athletic build,
and then
the ability to fake martial arts
and act.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not easy. We're not saying easy. Okay. I'm going with yes, it would not be easy, but there are people who would be able to do it. Definitely.
And I'm good with it being on the Daredevil show. I think Elektra and Daredevil, they go together.
Yeah, I do like the idea of possibly I don't know if I like it for Elektra, but I could see it working, possibly having a character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. who is actually like an Avenger assassin trying to track down an Avenger. They're trying to track down the assassin before the assassin gets to the Avenger. You know, maybe she's going after Black Widow or something. I don't know. But I think the Netflix series is absolutely the best place to develop it, because if you think about it, potentially Elektra could have more screen time to develop her story in the Netflix series than if she had her own movie.
Like absolutely.
If you take all the scenes of her alone and then take all the scenes of her with Matt Murdock, with Daredevil as well, I think that you actually have a lot more chance to really develop a nice, good background. And it doesn't have to be the comics background. It doesn't have to be part of that convoluted, crazy backstory that she has.
But here, let me pull it off my fictional shelf right now.
Okay.
Look, it's Ultimate Daredevil and Elektra. What's this? Oh, a sweet college romance between a young Matt Murdock and an Elektra. Oh, don't those kids look sweet? And oh, some bad things are happening to Elektra now. More bad things are happening to Elektra now. Murder and death. But wait, how will this young lady react? What, becomes a deadly assassin? Years later, re-enters the life of Matt Murdock? Boom, right there. They've already written this story.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, I mean, they wrote it in the regular Marvel Universe. And, you know, there's, you know, they meet. You could have them meet cute, you know, and then start fighting each other in a playground on teeter-totters.
You could.
I mean, that's another way, totally awesome way to introduce
your
character.
Yeah, a little bit younger. But, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And they,
it's a little concerning.
And, you know, the teeter-totters are kind of cool, but they're just like beating each other in front of children.
You may have spent too much time with your kids.
What?
Nothing.
That's how my wife and I met.
Oh, okay.
Beating each other up in a playground in front of a bunch of children.
All right. Do you need to say your safe word?
I don't think I know what you're talking about. But
all right. If she's hitting you.
Let's just move on, okay? okay, so you did Scott Fisher. So
yep,
Agent, yeah. Well, after Scott posted, David posted and asked, don't you believe Rosario Dawson is going to play Elektra? And then he says, if not, then who? And I know she's cast in the Daredevil series, but we don't know who she is yet, right?
No. And I think she's going to be somebody fairly new.
You think so? I can see it working, but...
Yeah, she may be a Netflix original character.
But who would we cast? I'm not very good at casting.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Maybe Scarlett Johansson. Because she's not busy, right? Okay, so you're next.
Jeff Mills says, how will they possibly tie Ant-Man into the current storyline?
Agent Jeff, I wouldn't worry. I think they have plenty of good chances and opportunities. And here's just me just throwing this out there. You include prequel stuff in the 70s. You tie that into the Winter Soldier. And you tie it into the Winter Soldier with the whole Hydra coming in and things. And then maybe young Hank Pym, he was around there, realized bad things might be going on, hides his tech somewhere else. So his tech isn't around. And so all the Iron Man stuff, Tony Stark and his, you know, Howard Stark, all the stuff that they invented since, you know, the 70s is based on their own stuff, not on what Hank Pym might have created. And then now that the dangers are gone, Hank Pym doesn't have to worry so much about things. And then you have Scott Lang come in. And so those are ties to the past. And now this ties into the future because you have Ant-Man is the new hero who can help out with things in the future.
No, he's not a hero. This is Scott Lang.
He'll be a hero.
He starts as a what? Is he not a thief?
Yeah, but now you're tying in because he's a good guy now.
Oh, only on his path to stealing an Infinity Gem will he become a good guy.
Ooh, that would be a good way to tie it in.
Boom.
Yeah, that would be good. By the way, I didn't just think that up. I was really trying hard to come up with an answer for that one while I was waiting for Daniel to clean up after his birthday party or summer party or whatever they were doing.
Lacrosse party.
Oh,
it was good.
Anyway, I did put a lot of thought into that just to – oh, yeah, we want to tie it in. But I was thinking the Hydra storyline and the S.H.I.E.L.D. storyline, not the Infinity Gem.
Is it your turn?
I think so. Okay. Matt Anderson from the Sci-Fi Christian.
And the Comic Book Time Machine.
And the Comic Book Time Machine. Asks, which character that Marvel Studios doesn't currently have the rights to do you think would benefit the MCU the most if they could use them? In a separate question, who do you most wish Marvel had the rights to that they currently don't? And so, Daniel, because we do have some questions coming up, I would say let's stick to Marvel characters and do two different answers, even if they both of these could be the same person.
Okay.
All right. So first question is, what character do you think would benefit the MCU the most if they could use them?
Okay, let's hear yours.
Okay. Fantastic Four.
I was going to say the Fantastic Four, except who could benefit the MCU the most? I think the MCU could benefit the Fantastic Four the most.
I think the Fantastic Four could benefit the MCU because it is another very different concept. And yes, you do have the idea of, you know, Tony Stark saying, I am Iron Man. But these potentially, if you're bringing them in chronological order, so when their movie comes out, Tony Stark did his thing years and years ago. They'd be looking at him and saying, you know what? He had the right idea. Let's be celebrities. And I think that there could be some really fun stories to do with the Fantastic Four if you also play up the family idea. They are a family of four in that you have, you know, not mom and dad and the kids, but you have, you know, brother and best friend, and you have romance, marriage, but it's also a very different set of characters. Unlike Guardians of the Galaxy, who they form a family because they need a family, And unlike the Avengers, who forms a team because they need to fight something bigger than any one of them can handle, this is a group of people who are already a family dealing with this outside forces coming against them of superpowers and celebrity and trying not to lose themselves in the middle of that. So that's my take on it. But you are right. I think the MCU will do much more for the Fantastic Four than the Fantastic Four could do for the MCU.
So thinking about the actual benefit and knowing that I'm going to give two separate answers, I'm going to say Spider-Man. And the reason that MCU could benefit most from Spider-Man is brand recognition.
Yeah, that's a good answer. That would be my runner-up.
And then in the separate question, who do you most wish Marvel had the rights to that they currently don't? I'm a traditionalist, so I will say Wolverine.
Oh, okay.
Because I really enjoy Wolverine. And I enjoy Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and it would be pretty awesome to see him on the same screen as our DJ.
It would be cool. And that would be a cool fight, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you?
Related to the Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer. I think that that would be a interesting movie, a solo space cosmic movie, ties into Guardians of the Galaxy with some things, but it's a one guy out in the universe trying to make sure people don't get eaten. I guess it's not, it doesn't have to be the Galactus story, but I like the character, and so I think that'd be a cool character for them to have.
Mark Adams asks, first, should the MCU stick with the traditional Hulk or branch out to other incarnations, such as the Gray Hulk or the Professor Hulk?
This is a hard one. I mean, I have – obviously, all of these are opinions, but I had a real hard time deciding what my opinion would be on this. By the way, any of these questions that we're answering right now, listeners, you gave us the questions. You can also give us the answers. If you think we're totally crazy, let us know and answer any of these. You know, send us your replies and we'll use them in our next episode. Or so, next few episodes, depending on how many we get. But yeah. So what do you think?
Well, I'm waiting to find out what obscure Hulk you'd like to see.
Oh, no, I don't want to see him. My answer to this is I think that Gray Hulk and Professor Hulk and all those different personalities, for the context of series of movies, it just would make things needlessly confusing. I don't think we've seen enough of this Hulk to really be able to care when his personality changes. I think that's where you could do this kind of thing, like the TV series. You could do this kind of thing because you have time to establish a character before you mess around and do variations on the character. So maybe in a TV series, you could do the different personalities as a focus.
For me, I do think I would like to see what they've been doing in the Indestructible Hulk with the Hulk Smashes Banner Builds mission statement. And I do think you could do that in the MCU where you'd have Banner working for Tony Stark, for example, with the idea being he's going to be the builder, and then when something bad happens, he's always angry.
Yeah, but that's not – you could do that with his current personality.
Exactly. So again, it's not a different version of the Hulk, but it's a more stated mission statement for the Hulk.
Yeah, because I like that idea of on one hand, he's creating things, but on the other hand, he's a gun that you point in the right direction.
And that's literally how they treat it is as a gun. S.H.I.E.L.D. points him to the problem, and then they make him mad. And then when they need him to calm down, they release puppy dogs. I'm not making that up.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
We'll move
very
on.
Very calming. Second, I just spent a week with some young people. I'm a youth worker, in case you are worried, and I've never had so many conversations about superheroes. But the thing I've noticed is that they are all based on the movies and with no knowledge of the comics. How, in the view of the panel, can Marvel, DC, others encourage this vast audience to read the comics? And does it matter if they read the comics? Can I take part one of this? Well, an opening shot at this at least?
Yeah, go for it.
I listened to a very long podcast today, and I believe that they are correct, where they basically said DC doesn't care about selling comics. DC is all about the entertainment aspects of their properties. That's how they make the money.
Yeah, the intellectual properties. They're selling underwear and action figures
and video games. And movies, and that's all much more profitable than the comics are. So yeah, I don't think some of these comic companies really care if people are reading comics, because I think they don't see themselves as being in the business of comics. I think they see themselves as in the business of entertainment and licensing.
Now, to be fair, though, these are – we're talking about the suits in charge of things. The creators who are on the ground level actually doing the creating of the comic stories, they care. I truly believe they care about comics and they care about storytelling in that medium.
Well, and again, this is where I'm calling out DC a little bit here. I mean, they've changed their name, have they not, to DC Entertainment?
Yeah, yeah.
And they've moved to LA. Disney, again, they own Marvel. They are finding out what they can do with comics right now. I mean, they have launched a whole series of Disney Kingdom comics that are bringing Disney properties into the comics and allowing them to do new things with it. And I do think Disney execs are interested in seeing, hey, we've got some of these ideas that we never use. Do they have any legs? And yeah, in many ways, they may be writing and selling these things to trying to get to the trade. But again, they're interested in producing some comics.
Okay. Well, yes. But money's the bottom line. Movies make the money. And so, yes, also movies are more visible. And comics are still viable, but movies are more visible. And I don't think in the long run, it doesn't matter that they're not being read. Although saying that makes it – I'm kind of saying that my job is obsolete in some areas. But
it's – again
– but iPads and PlayStations, those are what have edged comics out. For
Jeff
free
Johns.
Time.
Jeff Johns writes comics. He's very, very important to DC Entertainment. He writes comics.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Loeb writes comics. He's very important to Marvel, not just in comics.
And both of them just can't spell Jeff the right way.
No. I think a good example is Winter Soldier. There was a comic first. Comics do allow them to test out ideas. The comics allow them to try things out before you get to the high stakes of a multi-million-dollar movie. So I do think the comics are important, but I don't necessarily believe that they need to be read in the eyes of some of the execs.
Yeah. So how can Marvel and DC and others encourage vast audiences to read the comics? That's the question. And I think the answer, honestly, is they need to actively market to different audiences than the current audience. And I don't think they see money in actively marketing to children, because children just aren't reading comics right now. The money for comics, if there is any money to be had, comes from random new readers and nostalgia readers, people who have been reading for a while and who love those characters. And so they're writing to and publishing to, basically, more or less. Now, there is some more diversity than that, but what I'm about to say, but to the 30 and 40-something males. And that's where the comic money, what little there is coming from.
And again, you're right. Going back to my example earlier of Disney Kingdoms, the first issue of both of those titles sold out. They were primarily bought by people that were Disney fans. So they were people who were adult, had expendable money, probably older than 30, and were in general not comic fans because they were specifically written for a niche audience.
And many of them probably did pass the issue on to younger family members or something like that.
Well, and especially this newest one, Figment, is definitely an all-ages comic. And I can tell you both of my kids have pawed over it. My youngest, before I could even get the digital copy in, because I prefer he, you know, do the digital. that was one way to bring a reader in. Because when I get Figment, we sit down and we read it.
So I do think that there is some hope digitally. But, yeah.
Yep.
Am I next?
Yep.
I'm back to Matt Anderson. This question is in regards to comic books. Thanks, Matt. Would you be happy with a world in which the DC heroes are owned by the same company as the Marvel heroes? What are the pros and cons of this? Big pro, crossover potential. Big con, crossover potential. Because, yes, it is fun to see Spider-Man and Superman swinging their fists at each other and then at the bad guys. In fact, that's a great scene where Spider-Man first meets Superman. He's punching Superman in the belly with his fists, you know, flashing, pow, 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 pow. But it's fun because it's special and unique, and less fun if it was just happening all the time. So that's one thing, but honestly, I don't think it would make much difference. I think it would just lead to the biggest con, I think, is just lead to everything kind of looking the same and being the same. I mean, it'd be New 52, only add in a whole other company, you know? And they already are kind of the same anyway. They kind of look the same. And it wouldn't affect me. What?
Yeah, could you only read two titles?
Right. No, I pick and choose what titles I buy based on if it's relevant to my interests. So,
who are you, Brian Snook?
Yeah. No, but that's the way I do it. You know, I'm not.
We need a meme, not relevant to my interests. A stamp. I've been using it in my household.
Yeah.
My wife recently asked me if I was going to watch a certain romantic movie with her, and I looked at her and I said, not relevant to my interests.
We have been infected. This is a – I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but yeah, I think the other – another con would be just that you'd have a monopoly then in a lot of ways on publishing, and you'd have a monopoly on storytelling.
I'm just saying, when the WWF and the WCW were two separate companies, that was the highlight of wrestling. Somebody got that out there. But it really was. It was the highlight.
Did they ever cross over?
No, but now the WWF owns the WCW.
Yeah, but that doesn't count as a crossover then.
No, not really. I mean, you did have, you know, somebody like appearing on WWF on Sunday at a pay-per-view and their contract ending, and then the next day showing it up at WCW. So, but that's not really a crossover.
No.
So Matt might have got that one. All right. David Arrington asks, which non-Marvel character would you like to see in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Marvel Comics Universe?
So two questions. A non-Marvel character you're bringing into the MCU and the 616. I'm very excited about one of my answers here.
All right, you go first.
Well, I'll go with the answer I'm not excited about first, and that's the MCU. I couldn't think of any character that really needed to be brought into the MCU because, honestly, there's a Marvel character who's an analog for almost any DC character you could bring in, or any character you could bring in almost. So I just am throwing this in there just to raise awareness for the name Captain Canuck. Give, you know, the MCU can't take, you know, mutants. And so I don't know how Alpha Flight fits into MCU plans. So here's a Canadian patriotic character. And I like Captain Canuck. So,
and I'm going to go with the Operative from Aquaman and the Others.
Because that's a cool character.
He is a cool character. He's a secret agent, the world's greatest secret agent. So he could be competitive with Nick Fury. And he's super old and cranky. So you could make him a Coulson mentor. You could make him another Fury mentor. You could do a lot of different things with him. And then all of a sudden, this unexpected old man just knocks you in the head.
I like it. How about for 616? What do you got for that?
I'm going to go with the low-hanging fruit for me, which is Manhunter, because basically Mark Shaw, the Manhunter, should be a Marvel character when you look at what's going on with him. He's got angst. He's got family issues. He's got money issues. He's got bill issues. He's basically a middle-aged Peter Parker.
All right. You ready for this?
All right. I'm sitting down.
I'm going to say this, and I don't know if you're going to see the potential right away, but when I start explaining, I think it'll be there.
Bring on the Magna character. Go ahead.
Sam Beckett.
From
Quantum Leap.
All right.
So, Marvel Quantum Leap. You have a character who is jumping from person to person throughout time, and you're jumping into Marvel characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this character finds himself in Spider-Man's body. And then this character finds himself in Captain America's body in the 40s. And maybe could even jump into the Watcher's body. Because the Watcher will not act. But if Sam Beckett is within the Watcher's body...
Does he have to?
He has to act.
Hey, the Watcher acts all the time.
Yeah. By the way, Watchers in Guardians of the Galaxy, they say it was. I haven't heard James Gunn say it, but that was... I saw them and I thought, who are they supposed to be? Could they be Watchers? And then I come home and look online and people are saying, Watchers, Watchers. So I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one.
All right.
Travis Daisy Morell asks, if Doctor Who and the MCU were in the same universe, would Coulson be a companion or would the Doctor be an Avenger?
Yes. Next question.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I think Coulson's definitely the sort of guy that would stand around for thousands of years waiting for the Doctor to show back up because that's what he does. All right, your turn.
Katie, Agent Katie says, how would you feel about a Hulk film that set up or had She-Hulk in it? And I, for that question, she has another one coming up here. Actually, she has another one coming up later on too. But I think it'd be interesting and fun. And Hulk has a lot of potential with some of his surrounding cast. Again, an Incredible Hulk TV series. That's the perfect place to bring in, to bring back, I should say, Doc Solomon. Have She-Hulk. And I think if you're going to have another Hulk character, don't make it be the same guy, only a different personality. Bring in She-Hulk, you know? That's where you can have, you know, Smart Hulk is in another character. And then Smart Hulk, She-Hulk, can play off of Dumb Hulk, Hulk, and yeah. What do you think? How would you feel?
Yeah, I'm for it. I am. I think She-Hulk would be interesting. And as we've looked at who's going to replace who in the future of the Avengers, it would be able to set us up for having Hulk's replacement.
Yes, it would. Her next question, what do you think of this rumor there will be no more origin stories in the MCU?
Yeah, just like there's no princess movies from Disney.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, there will be origin stories. It just might not be the first story we see on the screen, or it won't be we see the whole thing as the whole movie is set up for the character. There has to be origin stories because what has to happen, you have to be introduced to the character. So I don't think it's true.
Let's see. Blake says, not sure if this has been asked, but this isn't Marvel or even comic related. What are your memories of Robin Williams? Would you like to start?
Sure. I think that my first memory goes to Mork and Mindy because that's what I watched as a kid.
True.
You know, and he was goofy and funny, and then he always had a sitcom lesson at the end where it was, you know, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be human, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's where my mind went to first. And he's been in some movies and stuff that I really, really love and really adore. But, honestly, I've been trying not to think too much about Robin Williams because it's just such a tragedy. I mean, suicide in general is such a tragedy. It's just heartbreaking. And so I've been actually actively trying to avoid even thinking about him too much because, yeah, it's just, I can't imagine the pain and turmoil that his family is going through. And, yeah, so that's my answer. So how about you, Daniel?
And like you, I start with Mork. He's always been there. He's a Disney legend. He was, you know, the genie. I can remember as a relatively youngster watching things like even Good Morning Vietnam, which showed you that he was both funny but also could be smart.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was probably one of the few great improvisers in comedy. That he probably could take any subject and make something funny as it was going on. But I do think it is a constant reminder that even some of the funniest people are the people who are in the greatest pain, and sometimes they use comedy to mask.
it would be a tragedy if it wasn't Robin Williams.
Yeah, it's just tragic.
You know, it's just but, you know, the fact that it is someone that we all know and who's touched so many people. That's the thing, you know. Dead Poets Society, that is a movie that touched people. And Mork and Mindy, it's actually a show that, as stupid as it could be, people connected to it, and it touched people.
And we, an acquaintance in our life, lost someone in their life recently to suicide about the same time. And I do think, you know, everybody, you do need to remember you are valuable. And if you are feeling low, you do need to reach out and talk to others and connect and let others know if you need help, if you're struggling. So, wow, that got really, really low fast. So
not low, but, you know, this is Ask Us Anything. And so another way to answer, what are your memories of Robin Williams? Very fond. He made me laugh a lot. So Andrew Laughlin asks, where's Waldo?
Andrew's mama's house.
Oh, that was too quick. And too. I was going to say, on a whirlwind honeymoon circling the globe with Carmen San Diego, and he took her last name. So he is now Waldo San Diego.
You've thought way too much about this. So, Stuart asks, of all the MCU properties announced, what are you the most excited for?
Defenders. Hopefully the other four series will be really good. So, but just the idea of the Defenders and these intertwined and connected four Netflix series leading up to a miniseries. And I don't know. I mean, what kind of story could the miniseries be? I don't know. I'm excited to find out what they're doing, what they have planned. Yeah, I'm just excited about that. How about you?
I'm really excited for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Two? Okay. Because I was just going to say, you know, the other one already came out.
Yeah, but mostly because I think there'll be more. These characters will be more established, so.
Yeah, and we can get them into a good story, not just a funny origin. I shouldn't have said that even that much, should I?
Yeah.
Okay. I did like it. I laughed a lot, and I will buy it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I went in with low expectations, and they were met, and I had fun. Guardians of the Galaxy, I went in with high expectations, and I laughed. I laughed a lot. I got a lump in my throat when it came to the mom situation with Peter and that at the beginning. I just feel like there could have been a better story. I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, should we move on?
Let's do it.
Brandon says, what are your thoughts on the Inhumans? Will they be introduced through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And yeah, so this is where I have a couple thoughts here. One very positive thought is that it's a great concept and an addition to the MCU, and that you have them. It's almost like the X-Men type of situation where you have lots of people with lots of powers. But on the other hand, Inhumans as a group, it almost makes a little bit of the, you know, having lots of powered characters makes the Avengers less special, I think.
Who are you, the Incredibles? If everybody's special.
If everybody's special, then nobody's special. That's right. We used to say, just remember, you're unique and special, just like everyone else. But you have the potential of making your core group of superpowered characters less special. The Avengers formed. Why? Because they're the only ones who can do the things that they can do. And so there will be a fine line that they have to walk by introducing the Inhumans.
And so that's why my answer is no, they won't be introduced through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they're a movie franchise and they'll introduce them through a movie.
Oh, I totally disagree. I think it could easily be introduced on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But here's how they do it.
They won't, though.
Well, but here's how you do it. You don't introduce any of the core cast, especially if you're doing like a Lost Kingdom kind of thing. Now, this only works actually if they're doing like, these are ground level, regular, everyday people who are part of something bigger. But you introduce a pocket group of Inhumans who maybe have broken away from the larger the larger population or whatever. And so you have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. come across these guys, and they're like dealing with them and making revelations and finding out things about them. But it's not stepping on the toes of the movie. So when the movie comes out, we're still meeting these characters new and fresh, and we're finding out things about their culture and about their group that we wouldn't have known, you know, just from meeting that pocket group.
I'm just saying, Sky's dad is not a Inhuman.
I don't know. I think that they could, and I do think that even if – I think it would work if Sky was Inhuman and still work with the movie. But on the flip side, yeah, if it's a movie concept that they want to keep with the movies, I don't know. I don't know. The kids – think about it, though. The season leading up to that movie could just, you know, have all these little tidbits and hints here and there that all get paid off in the movie. It'd be difficult to do because you don't want it to be where people go to the movie and they're like, what am I watching? I must have missed something. I feel like I'm watching the second movie in a series. Well, no, you just missed the third season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But
that's my point. I mean, look at how they handled the whole Captain America thing this year. Caterpillar or Centipede Man. It's got another name.
I'm just saying, you could have a pocket group of these guys who aren't related to the big family. So it could work.
All right. And his other question?
Yes. What are your hopes and or fears for the Distinguished Competition, DC, as far as their cinematic universe goes? Are you ready?
Yep.
I hope it's good, and I fear it won't be.
I hope it's bat-tastic.
Oh, interesting.
Doug asks, better dinner option. Now write these down. Tacos.
I am going to go with tacos.
I like burritos.
Okay.
Tacos are a good section, a second option, but I like burritos.
So you're just totally sidestepping the question?
I think he's too limiting.
Okay, well, he did ask a specific question. Tacos?
I'm usually be pinned down on this one. Why don't we go to the recorded comment and question?
I don't know what you mean. Oh. All right.
You're just a hot mess, aren't you?
Let's play the recorded comment.
Hi, Ben and Daniel. This is Derek and John from the Gotham TV podcast.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Daniel.
We just have a question for your Ask Me Anything, your next episode of Welcome to Level 7. Is there a missed opportunity that you can see within the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies to date? Is there anything that Marvel have missed out on that you think they could have done and didn't do?
For example, I'm a huge Doctor Strange fan. I thought that in Thor, The Dark World, there was the possibility when you saw the Nine Realms coming to converge that you could have brought in the idea of different dimensions or different realities that would link to Dr. Stephen Strange. I wish they had done that in Thor, The Dark World. I'm kind of glad they didn't now, given that it is more, it is considered to be one of the least liked Marvel films, and I would love to see Doctor Strange get as big a shout out as possible.
So as John says, that would add about 20% to anybody's rating of the film, I'd say. That's our question. What do you think, guys? Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
So what do you think, Daniel? Wait, before you say it, I'm just going to say I think I can predict your answer.
Oh, I want to hear what you think my answer is.
No, I want you to give your answer, and I'll tell you if I was right or wrong. And then I'll tell you what it was.
You're not going to get mine because I think the missed opportunity was Cosmos should have talked.
Oh, I wouldn't have gotten that. That's the biggest missed opportunity that the MCU has given you?
It's more Walt Disney, a good Iron Man 3. Thanos in Avengers 2 has been good. Yeah.
That's the answer I was looking for. That's the answer I thought you were going to give is Thanos.
Maybe I've just given up on that one.
I don't know. I think that an earlier revelation of Thanos and his motivations, and maybe more in Guardians. I don't know, but that I thought that's where you were going to go with. But mine, okay,
I was smoking meats tonight, so.
I don't think that smoking meats really has the effect that you're thinking it gives you.
It was really tasty.
Okay. All right. My answer, let's see. I'm not going to complain about Guardians of the Galaxy anymore because it was a great movie and I will be buying it and watching it. I have two possible answers. One is a missed opportunity based on Disney. Based on Disney being so big, is that they could have done
Lone Ranger.
That wasn't a missed opportunity. That was, you know, people who didn't go see it missed their opportunity. But no, based on the size of Disney, they could have done a third Marvel movie each year with a small budget. Like, not that you could use this character, because I'm not sure where the rights are, but a Punisher type of movie or a Moon Knight or those kind of things where it's smaller, street level. But on the flip side of that, if it was a smaller budget movie put out at a time of year when there's less people going to see the movies in the first place, then you run the risk of people being able to say, oh, Marvel movies are, you know, 75% good, but there's those bombs over there. You know, the Moon Knight movie that only grossed, you know, $80 million in opening weekend or something like that. But yeah, I think that's one. But the other missed opportunity, yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to say it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going deeper into Marvel U and not just pulling minor obscure characters, but actually using characters that we have heard about and that they could have gone a bit deeper into the Marvel universe to pull on for their storytelling. Yep, I'm doing it. I'm saying it. I'm going with it. It's been said. It's on the record. And now they're not going to hire me to write the Guardians or write the Great Lakes Avengers episode. But I can live with that. Because I have to speak the truth, man.
Well, and I have to speak
or
the truth.
Or something.
despite my love of the Gotham City TV podcast, I really disagree with the fact that nobody likes Dark World. I just put up my list. The promised, the famed list. I just put it up on Welcome to Level 7 to show how strongly I feel about Dark World.
Did you put it up on the website or the Facebook?
Facebook.
Okay, so facebook.com/welcometolevel7. The 7 is spelled out.
Yep.
Yeah. And where
you will notice I get to 9 and then there's like a big gap and then I put 10 there. Just saying. May have been intentional. May have been a happy accident.
Well, yeah, so where does Dark World fall on that again?
4.
That's your 4th favorite?
Yep.
Wow.
I really like Dark World.
Huh.
It's 5 that's always controversial.
Wow, I thought, okay. You showed me this list. I saw this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at number 4.
I don't remember that. Okay. Hmm. I'm surprised. I like Dark World too, but... Iron Man 3 at the bottom. Yeah, no surprises there.
Yeah. All right. I believe you're up for reading.
I am. Let me get that back
actually,
up here.
With this one, let me read the first part and you read the second one.
Oh, okay.
Ben, if this is from Brian Snook. Ben, if I were a Marvel executive and came to you and asked you to use one of the original characters you have created, and it was up to you which one you would choose and how you would like to see the character MCU'd. So who would it be?
I had a hard time with this one. And I think I'm going to go with Julius Destructus, who is a little lizard boy who became potentially the destroyer of worlds, and his story. And I think that I would love to see that character realize on the screen. He could be an Guardians of the Galaxy. You know how the beginning opening Indiana Jones slash James Bond open that they did in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is him. It's them going after him, you know, in their little mini adventure at the beginning. And he, because that's what happens in the book, is that you have that kind of thing with the, you have a group of people, the Apocalyptonauts. And so Guardians of the Galaxy would take the place of the Apocalyptonauts in chasing down Julius Destructus, who is going to open the realms and allow the realm of endless monsters to enter our universe, unless he chooses not to. Yeah. So, Daniel, which Netflix MCU series are you looking most forward to, and why?
Really, Brian? Really? This is the question you have for me? You tailor a question for Ben, and you give me, you could be asking.
Oh, don't you be complaining about Brian?
Iron Fist.
What is your dealio, man?
It's Iron Fist.
Yeah, it's so terrible.
Fine. Rico asks, do you think that Phase 2 is better or worse without Agent Coulson in the movies?
Better. Better. Because he's in the show. If he was in the movies, he wouldn't be in the show.
He's not in Phase 2 because there's a show.
Exactly. Phase 2 is better because he's in the show. And the show is part of Phase 2. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on to Katie then. Back to Katie. She asks, do you think they will ever make an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. movie or put all or most of the cast into a movie? And to answer that first question, I think that we will see some cast in the movies, but not the full cast until the end of our show. And at the end of our show, there could be a movie. But I think to put all of the cast or most of the cast into someone else's movie is, again, like I said about bringing Coulson back in someone else's movie, is you need to serve the movie. And most movies need to serve the main character of the movie. And so to bring in this group of characters to help, unless they're all background characters, it just wouldn't have much of a... It wouldn't work very well. Like Winter Soldier. I think if you brought in characters who have background that people aren't familiar with, but it exists, it kind of alienates. But to have characters that we don't know, like the, you know, the guy from Community, we don't know anything about his character. We don't know anything about his character or you know, what past he has in the movies. But it doesn't matter because he doesn't have one that we don't know. I mean, no one knows. And so that's my feeling about it. What about you?
I think we'll see some. I do think we'll see BJ Britt. I do.
We have heard that, haven't we?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a done deal. I think he'll be Trip, because Trip is a legacy when we see him on the big screen.
Are you excited for Dr. Selvig to be back in Avengers Age of Ultron and for him to be naked again? My answer is, and this I wrote down some of these answers ahead of time, and this is one. My answer is this. I like Dr. Selvig. I wish he was not a joke. I am not excited to see him naked, but I will laugh if he is. So, if that's, I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but he did say in an interview, someone asked him, oh, are you going to have clothes or not? And he's like, yeah, I'll be naked again. Ha ha ha. But I am excited to see him back in Avengers Age of Ultron. I like him. I'd be excited to see him in any movie. I'd also be excited to see him on a certain show.
Yeah, I would say Andrew's Mama's House.
I don't even know what that means. Do you think Coulson could be a legacy of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And if so, have we seen who could be his parent?
I would like him to be. I think it would be cool.
I think he could be a legacy of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't believe we've seen his parent. And here's the other thing is, I'd almost prefer for his legacy not to come from his parents, but for his legacy to come from someone from S.H.I.E.L.D. helping him and inspiring him to, you know, to be someone, you know, to be someone who helps other people and, you know, to help kind of inspire that, that deep down rooted, motivation to help people, you know, so you have someone from SHIELD helping him and inspiring him to become a SHIELD agent, you know, like Bruce Wayne's bat, you know, crashing through the window and inspiring him to strike fear into people. Well, this would be, a SHIELD agent smashing through the window and inspiring him to be a SHIELD agent. I don't know. But that's, I think a legacy would be nice if we saw something in his past inspiring him to do it.
And I've picked somebody.
Who?
Rebel Ralston. So who Rebel Ralston was is he was a Howling Commando. So we'd have that link back to the first Avenger. We could then have him be one of the co-founders of SHIELD, maybe even Peggy's boy. And in his senior years, what he's known most for nowadays is the fact that he became a United States senator who's very pro-SHIELD.
Okay.
And we saw him get killed in Secret Avengers Volume 2.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Well, it was Volume 2. We're in Volume 3 now. Come on.
All right. Next question.
Oh, do you prefer physical comics or digital on a tablet? I have to admit, I am a convert to the tablet.
That was the entire thing. So that was not quite your answer.
No.
Mark's own answer was, I have to admit, I am a convert to the tablet. So, okay. And?
Both. I like both. Okay. I like my Marvel comics that come with both. Because I like to, like Original Sin, I like to read the tangible copy the first time through, touch it, stick it in its bag, seal it up, and then use that digital code so that I can use it for when I write reviews to reflect on things and to go back and remember stuff.
And I like
reading them with the kids.
And for me, the tablet is convenient, and so I do like reading them on my iPad, especially Marvel Unlimited. That is really nice. I really like being able to just, oh, I feel like reading a comic about blah, 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 and I can look it up, and more than likely there might be something there. Like What If. I've been reading What Ifs lately, and that is so cool because they're on there. And these are comics from the 70s and 80s that, yeah, I could probably get for a dollar each if I look for them and find them, but they're there, and I can read them because I paid that one-year subscription. But I do prefer reading on paper.
You're up.
Here's our chance to answer this question again with different answers. What character do you want to see a solo film on in Phase 3? And we've already kind of answered this question, but I have another answer for it.
I think I do too.
Okay. Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, I can see that.
Again, different from what we've got going on.
But they might be a Spidey.
They might be a Spidey, and they might be an X. You know, they could go either way there. And if they were a Spidey, Sony, why are you not doing Cloak and Dagger? Why are you doing untitled female movie? I guess I can understand why they're doing that. But, if you have Cloak and Dagger, there's your chance. Two new heroes tied into Spider-Man. And if it's X character, don't do it. Leave it alone. You've got plenty of characters. Just do good movies with the characters you've got that you're already using. What about you?
And I'll go with
Dazzler. No? Okay. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry.
That was so distracting.
You've got your answer, though. So
I'm going to go with I really want to see Iron Patriot. I want to see a military movie with Iron Patriot.
Yeah, that'd be good. Very good.
Yeah, and I prefer to be calling War Machine. But
I think if he had his own movie, he probably would. Yeah. I doubt he would be Red, White, and Blue if he had his own movie.
No.
Okay.
Who's up?
I'll just go. Katie has another question. She says, do you think they could have a Captain Marvel, that's the original Captain Marvel who was a dude, in that was me saying that, by the way, in Agent Carter or Ant-Man to have be part of the past of the MCU. And she's referring to Agent Carter taking place in the 40s or 50s and Ant-Man probably having flashbacks to the 70s. And then she says, I think an Agent Carter cameo is very possible, even if they just use his human name and could help set up a Carol Danvers movie. Or a flashback in Ant-Man could have them talk to or see him. And my answer is, I could easily see them doing one or the other. I'd almost prefer not to, though. I'd really almost prefer to have Captain Marvel be only Carol Danvers and let her have the story and let her have the power and let her have the, you know, be the original in the MCU anyway. But that's, again, that's my opinion about it. But I could see it working with what you suggested here.
Yeah, it could definitely work. I'll be honest, being Captain Marvel, Mar-Vell, I really don't have a lot of history with him. I've seen different versions of Mar-Vell and different versions of the Kree, but Captain Mar-Vell, I really haven't read a lot about him. So, because unlike majority of Marvel deaths, he actually stays dead.
Yeah, and he also has, I mean, he definitely has that legacy going for him. He has left a legacy behind because of his death. And I think he's almost more well known to modern readers because of the death of Captain Marvel graphic novel. Spoiler, he dies. I think he almost has more legacy with modern readers because of that than he does because of, you know, the things he did in his own series. But again, I just would like to see Captain Marvel be Carol Danvers and not be the, you know, the latest link in a legacy of characters who carried that name.
Let's see. Let's go with JD, who says, so Lady J is playing Mockingbird. Sweet. I want them to start casting the Luke Cage and Iron Fist series for Netflix. I know they're a ways off yet, since the DD series isn't close to finish with filming, let alone production yet. Anyway, here's my question. If Tigra was introduced into the MCU, how would you like to see her handled?
And my answer, how would I like to see her handled? Very carefully. I'm sorry for that, guys. So Tigra, an Avengers, West Coast Avengers character. And here's in the MCU, she is okay. In the comics, she's a woman who's taken on cat properties. And I could see them, though, doing that kind of a character, sort of a female Wolverine kind of thing. And honestly,
we don't have Wolverine, we don't have him,
right? And so you would have her instead.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think it would work. I think that especially if they gave her the right attitude and got the right actress to play her.
And the right amount of clothing.
Yeah. Well, and because that's the thing is in the comics, she's covered in fur. I don't think that would work on the screen for a human character in human based situations. Guardians of the Galaxy could do it. But yeah, make her like a Wolverine type of thing, make her have, you know, the animalistic senses, and she's fighting against, because it's all there, you know, she's got claws, they're in her fingers, you know, but she's got claws, she's got the, you know, she's always trying to fight her animal side. I remember vividly a comic I had when a kid where she was chasing a mouse around the mansion, I think, because, you know, she's a cat person.
And I'm going to go with, let's make her Wolverine. I'm derivative sometimes. And Ben, who should play Squirrel Girl?
I'm not going there. I don't know how to cast.
Marvel's trademarked Squirrel Girl, so something's coming.
No, it's not necessarily. But Scarlett Johansson?
Good enough.
Okay. All right, just a couple questions left. And one comes from Professor Allen from the Relatively Geeky Network of Podcasts. I've been listening to a lot of him lately, actually.
I spent yesterday looking through some quarter piles because I was like, oh, quarter bin. Didn't buy anything, though.
He asks, most likely movieverse crossover on the show in season 2? And the one you'd most like to see? So there's two questions there.
Most likely.
Well, there will be crossover for Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that's definitely the most likely. I don't know.
It's too big not to happen, but it will happen.
Maybe Von Strucker.
And maybe Selvig.
Yeah, maybe Selvig. It's going to be somebody lower level. It's not going to be RDJ. I don't think they'll do Samuel again.
Oh, what if they did Vision?
Ooh.
That would be a character they could bring in.
There you go. Has he ever done TV, though?
Who cares?
Good point. Good point.
If he's getting paid to come and show up on set for a week and wear makeup or whatever it is that they have doing. Yeah. And the one I would most like to see.
Here, I'll give you mine. Cosmo.
It'd be interesting. I don't know. Yeah.
I must like Cosmo way too much.
Yeah, you're lucky. They treated him well.
That's a legitimate answer.
The crossover I most like to see might be the Hulk. I think I kind of like to see them go after the Hulk. That could be an interesting thing.
All right, I'm going to open up this sealed envelope that has the final question.
It's a great final question. Not that I've seen it, because you opened up a sealed envelope.
Ooh, Agent Ryan asks, hope I haven't sent this too late. My question is, do you guys plan on giving the same in-depth treatment of each episode of Agent Carter and Daredevil as you have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Answer?
Yeah.
Yes, the answer is yes, we are. Agent Carter worked out nicely for us because of the way they scheduled it. That's very, very good, and it will be conducive to the way we are already doing things. And Daredevil, we're still working out how we would want to approach it. It might be the kind of thing where, yeah, we're doing one a week. But they're going to dump Daredevil all in one day. And so all, 12 episodes? 8 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
All at the same time.
They're all going to come out on one day for people to binge watch, which, I'll be honest, I probably will end up doing unless I'm in the middle of some sort of camp or something like that. But, yeah. Yes, we are planning on doing that. And we're very excited about doing it.
So, all right. I think we did it.
I think we did. Oh, go ahead.
I think if it's all right with you, we'll just go ahead and not do the field reports today.
This kind of was a great big long field report. We do have some emails that are lying in wait, but we'll pull those out later.
Yeah, so. Can you tell the good people where to find us?
Yeah. Our website is welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/welcometolevel7. All these things you're going to hear in the end credits in a moment. And beyond that, Daniel, you have any final words for people?
No. I'm enjoying the smell of freshly smoked meat on my fingers. A mix of apple and pecan.
It's nice. I would like to have some of that someday. But for the time being, I'm just going to have to close us off with the words of a great man, Daniel. The words of a great man. And those words are, I like burritos. Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds.
Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls. jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.
Well, I had to go with something that you said because...
Yeah, it was the only way we could do it.
Yeah, it worked, though.
It worked. Yeah. I think we now know what to do when we have this problem again.
It's not easy, though, because you're in the middle of the conversation. But anyway, yes, post-credits, Lucy. That's what you want to talk about, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about it.
So last night, late at night, I saw Lucy. So do you like 2001?
Mm-hmm. I do. I like it a lot.
You might like Lucy. Because there's a lot of things going on in 2001 that show up in Lucy. Like seeing Early Man and
what?
As the movie opens and there's a monkey-like figure on the screen, I looked around and I said, is this Lucy, the action adventure that I saw advertised that I was meh about?
Isn't there like a skeleton somewhere named Lucy?
Yeah, and believe it or not, what this is, it's Lucy, the first woman. We will find out later.
Okay.
But, yeah, we would go to the beginnings of time and humanity. So if you like 2001, and then, by the way, we get a lot of imagery and nature film shots that have to do with the evolution of the human mind and man.
Well, because this is about, this is about the evolution and yeah. She's... So she's evolving to the peak of evolution, right?
So you've got your shot. You're just your regular movie shot with Johansson in it, and then all of a sudden it clips to a nature documentary for 20 seconds.
Wow. I might want to go see this now.
Well, if you like 2001.
I do like 2001 a lot.
Not because of the
monkeys. I mean, it's not the concept of monkeys that makes me say, I like 2001. It's the way that they... used the monkeys in 2001.
I'll argue, and I won't tell you what. There's even a monolith item in this movie. There's an item that I have coined the monolith.
No way!
At the very end of the movie, you will see the monolith.
Wow, you're making me want to go see this movie now.
Well, here's the other thing about this movie.
Okay.
So do you remember when you were like 8,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't mature in your storytelling?
Yeah,
but in your mind, in your pretend play, you created a superhero that could do everything and anything all at once with no weaknesses and no apparent reason.
Yeah, I called him Superman.
Yeah, well, that would be Lucy.
Oh, so is there like no tension?
Well, I mean, there's tension. But I mean, it's not really – you're never worried that the bad guys are going to – be able to do much harm to her. I mean, you've seen it in the trailers where she makes them all drop asleep.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that in the trailer. It's pretty convincing that she's pretty powerful, and it happens fast. And I will say, I mean, Scarlett Johansson, I mean, this movie has officially made her a big action star that can carry her own film. You know, she does a good job at being relatively unemotional, being emotionless and giving you the feeling that she's had something switch in her mind. Though when she was playing the kind of the more human version of her, I didn't necessarily buy that completely. But yeah, in the end, it's a lot of nature video. It's a lot of nature video.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll wait.
I would wait.
Okay. Well, yeah, because I mean, it just looked like, oh, here's her chance to show that she could do the Black Widow movie that everyone's been asking for, except for me.
Yeah, she's not Black Widow in it. She's Superman. But a 10-year-old version of Superman. And by the way, I had a buddy who went to it because he thought, you know, oh, it's Scarlett Johansson. What a beautiful woman. I'm going to go see her because obviously it's going to – yeah, you're not going to get that. You know, it's not an over-hormoned movie. It's not that. No. You're not going to see skimpy dresses. but you will see her make everyone in an entire room go to sleep. And maybe have a giant S on her shirt at some point.
Does she really?
No.
Okay.
Welcome to Level 7 is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast, get productive in your personal and professional life, theorize over TV shows like Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, Under the Dome, and of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.
It's a magical place.